So, when you come here to the monastery and practice, then we try to be peaceful together, friendly, helping each other. And no fight. No harmful words. Not stirring up, no angry words. That's not acceptable. No matter who it is, no matter who is the one who causes the trouble, we should never, under no circumstances, react. Just try to maintain. The more you stay in the monastery, the more you stay alone with yourself. So, don't worry what other people are saying. Just try to be calm and see your anger that comes up or flares up, but never, it's not acceptable that you let it out. In strong cases, both parties have to go. And we try to train ourselves, when we train ourselves, we should be able to control our anger. The anger will come up, but we should not let it out. The Thais are great in that. They never show their anger, though you feel that they are angry, but they don't show it. Or they don't let it out. That is one of the practices we have to do it. We want to be peaceful in this monastery and don't go at each other. It's very, very Western approach, to shout at each other, to say unfriendly words. But it's not a practice of the monastery. So remember this. And that if two people are fighting, both of them are guilty. There's no one who is not guilty. Two people fighting, two people are guilty, no matter what the reason. And in strong cases, both of them have to leave. When we come here to practice, the most important thing is to get calm. The second important thing is to get calm. The third important thing is to get calm. To calm down the mind, to shut off the mind engine, to stop thinking. And that's why we have the point of focus, the point of reference. We don't know what we are doing if we don't have a point of focus. So focusing just on in the nowhere, it might be interesting, but the mind, wherever the mind goes in this nowhere, the mind goes there and we don't notice it because we don't have the point of reference. So as a point of reference for our calm meditation, it's the Buddha or Dhammo, Sangho, or any part of the body, or it is just the breath at the tip of the nose. So whenever there is a thought or memory coming up, return to the breath, or we return to the Buddha. That's what we do. We have to make it interesting, the more the object that we observe is interesting, the more we stay with it. You can sometimes see it, if you watch an animal here in the forest, you stay with it because you're interested what it's doing. You can stay much longer with it than you can stay with your breath or the Buddha. Because you think the breath and the Buddha is not interesting. When we were born, we had the breath. When we die, the breath will cease. How can it not be interesting? It's our lifeline. The same with the Buddha. Just be interested in the Buddha. How is the Buddha? No. You don't have to ask yourself the question, but the interest should be, how is the Buddha now? How is the Buddha? Is it fast? Is it slow? Is it, is it deep or is it shallow? Just the same with the breath. Is it deep, shallow? Is the in-breath longer? And so on. You don't have to ask yourself the question, but the interest should be, how is the breath at this moment? Is it switching from the in-breath to the out-breath? And then find the point. Find something. When is the first Buddha finished, and then how does the next Buddha come in, find that part. Buddha, 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 when it gets slow. 100% interest is 100% concentration. You're gone. You enter instantly, you know, apana samadhi, 100%. So, I mean, you see, you know, when you struggle, how much concentrated you are. There this thought comes in, there this memory comes in, there this, you know, now this feeling comes in. You know, they're all things that are distracting us. These things that are distracting us, you know, are all pulled up by the kilesas. They pull up, you know, thoughts, you know. The thoughts themselves are not the kilesas, but the thoughts are pulled up by the kilesas. The thoughts, the memories, the feelings, the body, and consciousness are all under the control of the kilesas, or are all under the control of avijja. They are just the toolbox of the avijja to play with. They themselves are not the kilesas. They are neutral things, just like a knife is a neutral thing. But however you use it for, you know, that is up to the person who uses it. So, I mean, there are two powers in our heart. The power of light and the power of the darkness. They are there in the heart together. The power of the darkness is called the power of avijja. The power of the light is called the power of Dhamma. They are there fighting. Each one tries to get on the throne. Most of the time the kilesas win, or avijja wins, you know, and it is. And then, once it is on the throne, I mean, it can use the five khandhas, the five groups, like body, like feeling, like memory and thoughts and consciousness. So it can bring it up. Just like a king rules a kingdom, you know, whatever he wants, you know, he can bring it up. His subjects and things like that. He can march his army or he cannot march his army. When the power of light, you know, when the Dhamma is there on the throne, you know, then we do our Buddha, and then come back to the Buddha. So they are constantly fighting. So, I mean, we have to support the Dhamma so that it becomes stronger, that it becomes automatic, that it overrules the kilesas. But at the moment, at the start of our practice, I mean, the Dhamma is not strong enough. That's why we really have to always come back to the breath, or always come back to the Buddha. And to make it interesting. I mean, there's instantly, I mean, don't think, you know, I mean, when you say Buddha, 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 where are the thoughts coming from? They are coming from the kilesas. They bring them up. Where are the feelings coming from? They're coming from the kilesas. I mean, whoever has the authority over the country, I mean, can do whatever he wants with the subjects of his country. So, the kilesas bring up feelings, the kilesas bring up thoughts, but also the Dhamma can bring up thoughts. Now I want to practice. That's a thought, you know, that comes from the Dhamma. And then the next moment the kilesas say, no, I mean, it's too hot, you know, I don't want to practice. And then the Dhamma comes up, but it's better if I practice. I mean, that constant fight is going on. And because there are two powers in our heart. Two kings who want to go on the throne. Most of the time the kilesas or avijja is sitting on the throne. So, I mean, that's why we can't do it. Oh, I'm too lazy. I mean, let's do it tomorrow. So we have to fight them. We have to pull up, you know, the Dhamma and and make it work. Okay, just one more time. Just one more time. You know, when that time is gone, just one more time, just one more time, until we really can't anymore. And then we say, okay, just rest for an hour and then, you know, go on. It's important to understand, you know, that these things are in our heart. But neither the Dhamma nor avijja is us. There's something who knows that there is Dhamma and somebody who knows that there is avijja. That's the real thing. That's where we want to get to. That's what we want to try to achieve with our calm meditation. That's where our interest leads us. Right to the heart. Where the knowingness arises. where sati arises or where the knowingness arises. So, I mean, we do follow the track of the ox. So when it's the breath, we follow each breath until we get to the knowingness who knows that there is the breath coming in and the breath going out. Or the same for the Buddha. Huh? Who knows that there is a Buddha and who knows that there is a thought? That's where we want to get. So, I mean, we have to follow the Buddha to get to that knowingness. Once we get to the knowingness, that's fine. Then we feel relaxed, we feel at ease. Like I said before, you know, in the beginning, you know, we start to get probably in upachara samadhi, I mean, where there is no more thoughts and there is no more memories and there is just is. We can do it. It's just a matter of perseverance. I mean, whenever you see your mind is out in thoughts, bring it back. And always bring it back to the same object. Always bring it back. Always bring it back. That's what we need to develop. Patience. Unlimited patience. Always, okay. Gone out, bring it back. Gone out, bring it back. We need to experience this. We need to experience upachara samadhi, or when thoughts stop, when worries stop, when there is no more loneliness. That's what we need to experience. Why? Because otherwise it's just hard work and we don't get any results from it that are better than the things in the world. The promises the kilesas give us when we do this, you know, we have fun, or when we do that, we have fun, or when we do this, we are happy. I mean, there are promises and there is some satisfaction. But none of the satisfaction that we can see in the world or that we can experience in the world supersedes the satisfaction of upachara samadhi. This peacefulness, this quietude, or this pity, or whatever it is. I mean, you cannot experience that through anything in this world. It's pure. And that's why the Lord Buddha said, you know, I mean, it's important, you know, to reach it. To have that basis where we always can retreat, you know. Just like, you know, when we were young, you know, and still had the house of our parents, you know, we went off for 3 or 4 weeks, and when we are bored, you know, or frightened, or run out of money, we come always back to our parents' home, and we get a shelter. And that is the shelter in the heart. This shelter in the heart, there is no option. We have to be able to reach it. And we can do it only through perseverance. We cannot make it do. Through the perseverance, you know, of going back to the breath, or going back to the Buddha, and always going back to the Buddha. And you will see, when you do that for 2 weeks, you know, it becomes each day, it will become a little bit easier. Going back. Just going back. Of course, we do have to fight this hindrance of boredom. Boredom just means we have no interest in our meditation. Oh, I have no interest in my meditation object. Why? I mean, then think about it. You know, let's use a trick. What am I interested? When I do what, you know, I'm interested most. Let's use this, you know, and put it on the Buddha or on the breath. Any kind of hobby we had, where we completely lost our time. Fiddling around, trying to understand the machinery work. Okay, let's do that on the Buddha. Let's see how the Buddha works, or how the breath works. Let's find this interest. It's not boring, it's just, you know, we think it's boring. Actually, it's the most exciting thing, you know, just to observe the breath. Because it's peaceful. It's content. We have to overcome laziness. Because then the kilesas tell you, that's not worth it, you know. I mean, I've done it now for 1 hour and there's no result, so let's stop it. It's the same thing, you know, as, you know, the kilesas didn't tell that to us, you know, when we were young and when we tried to learn to walk. Why didn't they tell us? Because they wanted to walk. They wanted to see the world. Don't you want to see the world, the inner world? That what is in the heart, don't you want to see it? But you know, for that you do have to train yourself, huh? Just like you trained yourself to walk. I mean, you got up, nah, you were happy, you know, and the next moment you fell down, and then we're unhappy. Did you give up? No. Every one of you can walk. The same thing for speaking. You know, how long did it take you? One day to speak? No. It took you 1 year or nearly 2 years, you know, to be able to speak. It's all training. There's nothing that you have to understand about it. It's only, you know, the perseverance of going back to the Buddha or going back to the breath that makes it happen. You can say the side result, is the happiness and the contentment of our work. Just like when you dig a hole, you start to dig a hole in one place, you know, and it's full of stones, and then you think, that's not working. Let's dig it in another place, you know. And then, no, that's not working. It's too sandy or it's too muddy, you know. Then it's not working, you know. And then you go from one place to the other. Yeah? Just like when you constantly switch your focus of attention. I mean, you will not get calm. And you will not get a hole. But if you dig at the same place, one shuffle, next shuffle, you know. I mean, the result will be a hole. But your work is just digging. So your work is just returning back to the Buddha, or being interested about the Buddha, or being interested out of your breath. Huh? The result of your work will be contentment, happiness, calmness, peacefulness. That's a byproduct. But if you look for the hole, you know, and you dig, where's the hole, you know? You just take one shovel and say, where's the hole, you know? Last time I had it, you know? And then we forget that last time we digged, you know, for 1 hour, you know, to get a hole. You understand that? No. So it's important, you know, I mean, the work is the work of, you know, being interested in our Buddha and constantly returning to the Buddha or to the breath or whatever you take. That is our work, and the byproduct, you know, you cannot look for it because it only will result when you do your work. There's no other thing. You know? When you lost your Buddha, or when you lost the calmness, or when you lost Upachara Samadhi, the way to get back is Buddha. Not going on these feelings that you had, you know, not being disappointed. This being disappointed is all the way of the Kalesa. They just want to make us give up. Everything that they have in mind is to make us give up. No? Whatever, you know, reduces their power, they want to give up. They want to make us give up. I mean, of course, it's clear. I mean, if you're the king of a country and you know there are some subjects, you know, that want to undermine your power, I mean, of course you lock them up. You don't let them freely work, huh? So the Kilesas do the same thing. Once they see, you know, that there's something that undermines their power, I mean, they want to give up, you know. They want us to give up, because it's not good for them. But if that thing that we are doing, be it investigation or being the calm meditation, doesn't lead to the undermining of the Kilesas, okay, go ahead. They tell us, go ahead. So we know there's something shady. Huh? That's not going to work, you know. Just what a lot of Westerners are doing, you know, they're just following their mind. Yeah, the Kilesas never mind that. Huh? Just follow your mind, you know. They will let you do it all the time. Because it's not going to undermine their power. But if you do samatha, you know, if you always bring the mind back to the Buddha or to the breath, you know, they will hate that. They hate even things more, you know. Once we start investigation, they're really going to being upset. Samatha, you know, calmness, you know, it's still acceptable for them because they enjoy it as well. But investigation, really, you know, cutting down on the strength of the Kilesa, that's where they're going to oppose us really heavily, with all their might. You know? You feel them, you know, just like a pressure, you know, is going on at your throat, you know, and the air becomes thinner and thinner and thinner, and then you think you're dead. Hmm? That's when you really undermine the kilesa. They really put you to a stop. And then you just say, okay, let's see, what's dying? And what is over? What is left over? Huh? Just the same thing as when the breath disappears, or when you know that there is no more breath. Huh? Then you get frightened because you think you die. Huh? Instead of saying, oh, let's see, you know, what's left? You know? When I die, you know, what is left? You know, there's something left, you know? Because something is knowing that there's going to be a death. So that knowingness doesn't die. That knowingness can observe, you know, could observe the death. Oh, okay. Let's see what's dying, you know. And whatever is dying, you know, is going to be born again. Hmm? Whatever comes up, you know, must go down. Whatever goes down must come up again. Hmm? That's the life, anicca. All the impermanent. The breath disappears, you know. The out-breath disappears. And what comes? The in-breath. When the in-breath disappears, what comes? The out-breath. Hmm? So, I mean, there's nothing. There's just constantly changing. Anicca is one of the things. Hmm? Feelings are constantly changing. Hmm? When you put your attention to something else, you don't even notice your painful feelings. Hmm? And that's what you do mostly in the world, you know. I mean, you divert your attention, you know. If you have some dukkha in the world, you know, because, I mean, you have a fight with somebody, and I mean, you want to be distracted, or your boss said something that you didn't like, so you go to the movies or go to the bar and drink something. Yeah? So you divert your attention, and the pain is gone for that moment. But the moment you stop drinking, you know, and you get sober again, or you get out of the movies, the pain is still there. So, I mean, that's not a useful thing. Mm. Looking at the pain and seeing, you know, what it is, you know, where it comes from, that, in that case, or in that sense, we can remove the pain. Where does it come from? Hmm? Brought up by the kilesas. They don't like, you know, to hear something like that. Or they don't like, you know, to be like this. Or that this is the situation, or that this is, that is the situation. Hmm? It's called ego. I know what is good for me, and I know what is good for others. I know how others should behave. I don't behave the same way, but I know how others should behave. Huh? But we never see that. Huh? We always think that they should behave like this or they should behave like that. But we never watch ourselves. Huh? We always watch the others. And always get disgusted at other people, how they're behaving, what they are doing, you know. And now in meditation, for the first time, we take a look at ourselves, and then we see how ugly we are. How ugly we are behaving. Because it's all coming from inside. As I said before, you know, whatever we see in others is in us. Our heart is just a slide projector, you know, and projects all the good and all the bad things on the people that we see. So we can't really see what kind of person it is. Huh? And until our heart is completely pure. Once our heart is completely pure, then of course we see that person as it is. But if our heart is not pure, full of colors, you know, all what we see is, we can't even see the contours of the people. We can't see their outlines, you know. We just guess, you know, all what we see in all persons, you know, is us. And that makes us mad sometimes. Huh? So use that reflection, you know, and point it back to yourself. Look at yourself until you find it within your heart. It's you who are like this. Huh? Maybe not as strong as the other people. You know, if you see a person greedy, you know, and it upsets you, then you are greedy. But maybe not as greedy as that person, or maybe even more greedy than this person. I don't know. Just look at yourself and you will see. You will see your stinginess, or you will see your anger, or you will see your envy, or anything. Anything that you see into in others, huh? If it upsets you, heart, it's something that is within your heart. Maybe not in this life, huh? I mean, often, you know, I mean, I don't have this, you know. I've never acted in this way. It cannot be possibly me. You know? And then I looked and looked, you know. And suddenly I found it. It was there dormant. You know? It wasn't active. It was dormant there. So it could come out anytime, you know, just like a dormant volcano. I mean, sooner or later it will erupt. Huh? Maybe not in this life, but maybe in this life. Maybe in the next life. Huh? So that's why it is an very good training, you know. Whatever you don't like in others, you know, change in yourself. Huh? And then you're not in conflict with the world anymore. Then you don't start to argue. Hmm? You don't start to fight. It's really important. And samadhi, you know, and I stress it today, really, you know, samadhi, just have the perseverance, just have the endurance or the patience, just to bring the mind back to one point, and it should be always the same point. From the moment you wake up until the moment you go asleep, be just a Buddha. Yeah, okay, Buddha. Okay, Buddha. Yeah. Oh, I don't like Buddha. Okay, Buddha. Yeah. I like Buddha. Oh, that's great, you know, Buddha, Buddha, and always Buddha. No matter what kind of memory is coming up, no matter what kind of thought is coming up, always return back to the Buddha, or always return back to the breath. Or if you use the combination of Buddha with breathing in and Do with breathing out, that's fine. But you have to have a reference point, otherwise you really don't know when your citta is gone. If you just stay in the nowhere, you know, I mean that there are so many things in the nowhere. So you don't see the citta moving. No? It's just like, you know, leave, you know, in the ocean. Everywhere where you look is just water, you know. But the leaf constantly sways with the waves. How can you see that? But if you put a stick, you know, to the ground of the ocean, you know, and then you look at the stick, you know, then you see the movement of the mind. Then you see the movement of the waves, you know. Ah, now it's higher, now it's lower, now it's higher, now it's lower, now it's... That's why we have to be a fixed point. And if you want to reach one-pointedness, the deep state of samadhi, I mean, we have to focus just on one point. Until this point, you know, is so stable, you know, it will combine with our knowingness. So it becomes one. And it becomes just one knowingness. And that is the privy of Nibbana. So, I mean, put in the effort, you know. Don't let the kilesas fool you. Oh, yeah, that's... Because they always look for the easy way out. There is no easy way out. If you don't train to walk, we will not be able to learn to walk. If you don't get up, you know, if you're afraid, you know, to fall over and don't get up, you know, we will not be able to walk. You understand that? So I mean, you know, from this moment on, just train it with one point of reference. Just like the stick you put in the ground of the lake or of the ocean, you know, and then just observe that stick. And then you see the movement of the mind. When you don't have that stick, you don't see the movement of the mind. And that's why it, you know, it will never calm down. Because it will go, you know, as the waves go. Or as the wind, you know, blows. The mind goes with each wind. It comes from the east, it goes east. It comes from the west, it goes west. It comes from the south, it goes south. It comes from the north, you know, it will go north. And you don't see it. Because you're not concentrating on a fixed point of reference. So that's what's important. That's important for the sati. That's important for our awareness. And the result, don't look for the result. The result of digging a hole is the hole. When we shovel earth, you know, always at the same place, the result is the hole. When we always concentrate on the Buddha, the byproduct or the result of it will be peacefulness or happiness or whatever. Contentedness, at least contentedness. That's a byproduct. If we always stick at the same point. But if you choose, oh, that's too difficult, let's try this out, and then let's try this out. I mean, we always start, you know, I mean, thousands whole, you know. But if we only start, you know, there will be no hope. So how can we find shade? How can we find coolness? Huh? The deeper you dig the hole, the cooler it will get. Huh? So dig at one point. It's the same thing. Okay? I think that's enough for today. You have any questions? You understand the importance? But you have, you know, I mean, you really have to train you to do it. And then you will get the calm. But it's difficult, yeah? Understand, it's difficult. Because the mind likes to wander. No? That's why the Lord Buddha said, you know, what do you do with a wild elephant? When you want to train a wild elephant to be the king's elephant. First of all, you catch it. That's when we catch Buddha. No? Then we tie a rope around his neck and tie it to a pole. I mean, the wild elephant tries, you know, to get out of this, you know, out of the rope or away from it, but the rope is strong. So, I mean, in the end, the elephant will lie down and sleep. And that is samadhi. But if he can pull the rope or pull the stake out, you know, I mean, then he will run away. The same thing. That's the training of the mind, and there's no more difficult thing in this whole world than the training of the mind. To become stable, steadfast, and then once it's steadfast, then we can train it to investigate. If it's not steadfast, it's not stable, we cannot train to investigate. Because the mind always will run off. In our investigation, whatever we investigate, it will run off, I mean, once around the world, you know, everything, you know. I mean, you investigate this one thing, and then you think, oh, that's not good, you know, let's investigate the knee. Oh, no, no, that's not good, let's investigate the skin. Oh, no, 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 that's not good. Huh? I mean, your investigation is not worth a penny. Or then you investigate, start, oh, yeah, yeah, let's investigate my father or my friend or this life. What is he like? What kind of character? And suddenly you're completely off. Now that doesn't bring any fruits. Dig in the same place, be it the samadhi or be it for investigation, that always results in a hole. It always results in something fruitful. But there's no more difficult thing, you know, than the training of the mind. Because our mind is just like a monkey. He wants to jump there, you know, and jump there and jump there. Yeah, I mean, it's also interesting. That's why this training is so tough. Huh? Working in a coal mine is easier. It seems to be tough, but you know, I mean, it's easier, you know, than just to train the mind. You know, to think about 8 hours, you know, straight on in a coal mine, or just six hours, you know, and just sit down for 6 hours in samadhi, and then see what is more difficult. The pain, you know, is much more in the coal mine than just from sitting. But they don't care because they get their paycheck, you know, at the end of the day or at the end of the month. But we will get our paycheck when we do the work correctly as well. And that is peacefulness, coolness, you know, happiness, contentment, you know? And in the end, you know, being free from the fetters, huh? Not being reborn again. Okay, with this I end my talk.